With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, five hits different. Five gets you a McDouble or McChicken and a small fry and a small drink and a four-piece McNuggets. Five gets you more at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary for limited time only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Keep your guns, ammunition, and valuables secure with Sports Appeal Gun Safes. We have multiple sizes available to fit your needs. The spacious interiors are fully carpeted to protect against scratches and include adjustable side shelves to suit your storage needs. Save big on Sports Appeal at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is your 2-2 49ers. It's weird that 500 is a good thing, but when you're climbing out of the depths of despair, you need a little bit extra, and that's what today's going to be about. The Young Bloods with me as always on Tuesdays. Wayne Breezy, how we doing, man?
Doing good, man. They're dealing with a couple of Young Bloods going at them today, so we're going to have some fun on today's episode, man. I'm excited. Niners back at 2-2, and it's good to be here.
Man, this is going to be fun because, like, we know the 49ers, and we know Kyle Shanahan. He wants to stick with the vets. That's just who he is. But sometimes due to injuries, sometimes due to poor play, you got to make those adjustments. And the 49ers, more than any team in the NFL, are very hesitant or slow-paced when getting the young players involved. But here we are, week four. You were 1-2. Injuries kept mounting. At some point, you just got to shrug your shoulders like Nick Bosa and say, hey, let's get these young pups involved. So let me just go through a real quick list of names, and I want to spend a lot of time individually, get Wayne's thoughts on how they did moving forward, what all that's there. But listen to these guys that are playing. Evan Anderson, undrafted free agent. Renardo Green, second-round pick. Malik Mustafa, fourth-round pick. Sam O, who's, you know, been in the league but hasn't played really at all. Evan Anderson, said him already. Jacob Cowing, D. Winters, Tatum Bethune. Good Lord. All of them got not necessarily significant snaps. Some of them did, but they showed out, Wade. So overall, what is kind of your assessment of all these young guys getting snaps in the same game? And it wasn't even like it was trash time.
Yeah, like, I mean, they got the opportunity, and their job was to seize the moment. I think that's always carpe diem for me. It's always, you get the opportunity, seize the moment,
seize it,
soak it up, do what you got to do. Don't give them a reason to inactivate you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so you know, Evan Anderson was a breath of fresh air when it comes to just being a big body soaking up blocks. Like, you know, he played really well. Got his first sack too. We forgot to talk about that. Like, he got his first sack. Like, so,
and
like,
forced fumble.
And a forced fumble. So Evan Anderson, good kid they found undrafted. I remember like mock drafting him in a couple of drafts because I just thought we needed a bigger 300-pound plus lineman. And then we went out in free agency and took care of some of that. But I'm glad that they got him. I'm saying all that to say that the future is bright for the 49ers, bro.
That's the weird thing. It's like I didn't even put Dominique Pudi on this list, who's the best young guy we got. He's currently third in the NFL in pass protection across all offensive linemen based on true pass set metrics. Like, we're not even talking about the guy that's the number one. And we're not even talking about Ricky Pearsall, whose practice window, our actual first round pick, you know, might get activated this week. It's still going to take some time. But like, there's just a lot of hope there. There really, really is. There's not really anybody in this draft class. You know, we didn't get to keep Jared Kingston. That's a bummer, but we got so much guard depth. It was kind of hard to keep him. Didn't really bring up, you know, the rookie that had a really poor performance and very few snaps, and Isaac Garrido. But, you know, hopefully he can get some things turned around. But there's just so many bright young spots. The 49ers are known as the Avengers, the most all pros, the most Pro Bowlers, the most top 100 players. We know those guys, the Kittles, the Warners, the Trents, all that stuff. But whenever you can incorporate not one, not two, but seven or eight rookies into a game. You remember John Lynch, like several years ago when they asked him after 2019, they were like, John Lynch, do you want to push all your chips in and go for the Super Bowl and just a win now? Or do you want to build for the future? And John Lynch goes, I think we can do both. He got some criticism for that response, but that's kind of where we are. It's one foot in, one foot out. Like, we're building for the future, but we're not doing anything to jeopardize our current
correct
championship window.
I agree with that. And there's nothing wrong with it. I know the philosophy is a little unorthodox because how can you do both? But the 49ers are proving how they can do both. Now, this might not work for any other of the 31 organizations in the NFL, but I do see teams trying to copycat what the San Francisco 49ers blueprint is, right? And so you're seeing teams. We've watched the 49ers mess up. We've watched the 49ers mess up in the draft. We watched the 49ers mess up in free agency. We watched the 49ers mess up in trading. But you know what? I'm saying that it's all good for the greater good, meaning you're going to make mistakes. And so I'm going to leave that preface out there that people make mistakes. The question is, what do you do after you make the mistake? Do you continue to make the same mistake, or do you learn from the mistake? And I think it's fair to say that possibly John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, those guys are learning from the mistakes that they've had when it comes to scouting players, talent, things like this. I know we all have been saying, oh, that was Adam Peters' job. Well, Adam Peters is doing his job very well over in Washington, but the 49ers are continuing to do well without Adam Peters, and they're proving it right now because now you're getting these guys onto the field, whether they were undrafted or whether they were drafted. So the Niners, the future is bright. The future is bright. And my thing is, you know, again, when they're given the opportunity, they have to seize the moment. They have to seize the day. They have to take advantage of that opportunity. And you're not going to continue to get opportunity after opportunity. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. You talked about Isaac Garrido. He had a bonehead play on special teams, but Kyle still continued to use him on snaps when it came to running back. He didn't do well with his running back touches, but he was out there. He was pass blocking. He was just doing some of the intangible things that he's going to have to do. Now we need to see him more, you know, as will he be that second running back to, you know, Jordan Mason. We don't know yet. We just got to give him the opportunities to go out there and do so. And so even on his snap, it was funny because I was looking at one of his snaps and I was like, oh, but Kyle changed up. He changed up the personnel. So like, Yeah, the offensive line was out there, but you didn't have the best blocking wide receivers out there when he ran neither. So it was weird. But at the end of the day, like, these guys got to go out there and seize the moment. Because I liked what I saw, but some of the guys still need time to develop.
Yeah, it's still there. And, you know, shout out to Lee. Need a veteran backup at running back. Grindo's not ready. He's not ready. I agree with that. He just didn't play in training camp. He didn't. He had that one preseason 100%. Game, 100%. And that was it. And he didn't play much in college either. I think Patrick Taylor Jr. needs some of those snaps. And I was like, man, even during the breakdown, I was like, man, we're up three possessions with 2 minutes left. They have no timeouts, and we still got Mason out there, who has the most touches in the NFL. He's got the most carries in the NFL.
And second,
it's like,
most yards. Second
most yards.
Only because, you know, what's name had an anomaly of a game on Sunday Night Football, you know, because the Bills defense decided to let the 49ers down once again. And that's what happened. Just like they couldn't beat the Chiefs. Anyway, what I was trying to say, though, is, you know, yes, he's not ready, but you know why he's utilized. And for those that don't understand why he's being used, I'll remind you, explosive runs. And so the thing is, you put him out there, and if he can get it right and he breaks one, it's a wrap. They're not catching him. He's gone. And so he's only going to get that with the reps. Like, he has to see the speed of the game, the size of the hole. He has to develop the vision. Because I can tell you right now, the tools are there. And I could find faults in every player. Literally, I could go out there. I'm watching the film. I'm like, oh, Jordan Mason, he probably should have cut that this way, but he didn't.
Yeah, his vision was suspect this week.
It was only, but to be fair, it was only suspect on the tosses.
Yeah, they put those tosses in effect because of Debo, because Debo likes the vision. He thinks he can see it better from the toss. That's why they changed it to that short pitch toss, whatever.
Just do both. Just know your personnel. Hand the ball off to Mason. Toss it to Debo. Simple. Easy fix. Easy fix. It don't got to be the same way. Brock, hand it. Brock, toss it. You know, that's it. That's all I'm asking. But my point is, like, everybody has their faults. And the thing is, how are they going to find ways to fix and correct? Because the Niners are young, and that's why you're seeing a lot of mistakes. And so I want us to be okay with the mistakes from the youngings. If we're getting mistakes from the vets, we should have a freaking, we should be having a powwow and a conversation. But these are 100%. Young guys, and they need these reps. Like, the Malik Mustafa first missed tackle of the game blew my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of been who he is, but he corrected it. He got better.
He got better. But that was open field. He didn't even tackle.
That's not even like a tackle in 7-on-7. Like, you didn't even touch the flag there, buddy.
I was like, bro, did you forget you can tackle? I think it was one of those moments. He just didn't seize it.
He gave him a two-way go. Like, that's the thing. When you get those open field players, you got to use your angles, track the hip. It's one of the oldest things. He's so over-eager, right? He's like that little puppy dog.
Come on, Spike. We're going to go here, Spike. Can we get some water, Spike? Come on, Spike.
That's who he is, man.
No one remembers that cartoon, right? I can't tell you what cartoon that was. Can't tell you what it was.
He's like bouncing around in the big bulldogs, just like walking, just chill.
Yeah. Spike is cool. Yeah. That was funny. Is that Hanna-Barbera? Can't remember. All right, go ahead.
It was one of the ones that had all the different short ones or whatever.
Right. Right.
Here's what's funny. Like, Fred Warner brought up Mustafa. And so here we go. Listen to Fred Warner talk about Malik.
I thought he did great. You know, he had that opportunity to have an interception late in the game. You know, got to bring those in. But other than that, man, I love the way that Malik plays the game. I mean, he hair on fire, no hesitation. You see him just flashing all the time with the way that he sprints to the football. I love the way that he plays the game. He's only going to continue to get better.
Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers Rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So, I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And I'll say this, is my honest assessment. Whenever it was obvious that Talanoa was going to be inactive and Malik was going to start, like I put out there on Twitter, like Malik has not been good, but you're betting on the future because he has the tools. He's just so raw. His tackling pursuit angles have been bad all throughout camp, all throughout preseason, all throughout the three games, all those things. But you can tell he reads. You can tell it's going to be there. You're investing in what he will be. And in games like this where, guess what? Talanoa is out. You have a choice. Do you put Odom out there or do you go with the young guy and try to get him ready for the future? And again, the 49ers keep betting on the future. And that's one of the things that I think is really healthy because you're going to have to inject young blood into this team with so many old players. And I think that they're putting a conscious effort into that because the 49ers have a luxury most teams in the NFL don't. We're going to be playing in the playoffs. Yeah, we were 1-2. The plan is we're not trying to be our best right now. You got to win these games now. It's not about being the best in September or October. It's about being the best in December, January. And that is just constantly at the forefront of all these personnel decisions, Wayne.
I agree. And here's the best part. You're getting them in now. You're getting them acclimated. You're getting their mistakes out the way. You're getting them reps. You're getting them used to the football speed. We saw this happen with the injury to Hufanga, and then you had to insert Jair Brown, who wasn't ready. And he comes in, does good one game, struggles the next game, does good the next game, struggles the next game, has a hell of a Super Bowl performance. And now these first three games, he been mid. This game, he was probably one of the best tacklers on the football team. Like, it's so weird, right? But my point is,
he was.
You got to get them used to playing football. And so we drafted these players. I'm all about drafting players and playing them. Like, how else are you going to know? The issue is, it's depth. Because who are they going to take the place of? Not the starter, obviously. But God forbid something happens to the starter. You're dealing with an injury. You drafted that player for a reason. Yeah, you drafted him for the future. But you're gonna have to put him out there, and you get what you get. And so the question is, how quick will they be able to adapt? How quick would they be able to overcome the adversity out there? And I think we're gonna get that, you know, because my favorite player out there was Renardo Green, and nobody's gonna talk about Renardo Green, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from Renardo Green. He gets the penalty last week on some bullcrap holding call in the end zone, and then this week he's running stride for stride.
You didn't think it was holding call in the end zone?
I was, but I didn't want him to call it. Like,
okay,
you know,
I'm with you. I understand.
It was definitely a grab. You know what I mean? But the refs see every grab by every 49er player. Like, if we go into this week, how many holds did we get? George Kittle hole. Come on. George Kittle was held, and his arm just touched the jersey, and it was a
terrible
hold.
Call. It was a terrible
on a touchdown play on top of that. They didn't get the juice hold, right? I mean, like, what are we talking about here? So, like, they see holds more than any other team they call holding on the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, you get Debo for holds this year. Obviously, you get the Trent Williams holds. Now you're getting holds from Juszczyk, the smartest person on the football field. You're getting holds from George Kittle. When does George Kittle ever hold? The dude takes everybody down to the ground. It's called a pancake. At the end of the day, that's what they do. But that was a hold. I just didn't want him to call it. But I like what I saw from him this week, and I'm glad that he's getting more reps out there because at some point you're going to have to kick over to the future. You drafted these players for a reason, man, and they're going to come in here, especially if they're dogs. They're going to do well by the 49ers.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll say this. Let's check in with the 49ers Rush and the hashtag BB, the Breezy Bunch crew.
Hey.
They are checking in. Look at Wad Solace, man, painting football fields and listening to the John and Wayne show.
That's cool.
Dude.
I've always wanted to do that, paint the football field. Like,
it was funny. Like, so, you know, I was coached in Texas for a long time. And, like, we had crews that did that. Then I became a head coach in California. Uh-huh. And they were like, oh, you got to paint the field. I was like, what? I was like, the head coach? They're like, yeah, we don't, that's not a thing here. I was like,
Texas,
all right.
Texas and football is like church. You know what I'm saying? They take care of you in Texas, man. Like, it's
not, yeah.
It's football mecca, like, especially for high school. You know what I mean?
I remember they're like, oh, when did the refs show up? And they're like, well, when did the refs tell you they were showing up? I was like, no, man, we scheduled this out for the offseason, right? They're like, nah, it's just different. That's okay. We figured it out. The lines were crooked. I will say that. But that's all right. Shout out to my man, Dan Case, and the entire Case family. I had it highlighted on here. He's listening on a cable car. He brought his family out from the Carolinas, I think, to go to their first game at Levi's. And I just hope they have an absolute blast. We've got a lot of awesome questions, comments. Shout out to Don Bird, Detroit versus everybody, Seahawks. Fun game last night.
That was
no defense.
Game. Zero.
No,
defense.
It was Pac-12 after dark. Fox Sports 1. Do you remember those days?
Bro.
That You're East Coast. So, yeah. Like, I don't know if you stayed up late to watch the air raid.
Yeah. This is when Oregon was blowing teams out by, like, 152 to nothing. Yeah. I was just like, bro, like, who's up watching this? Like, you know what I mean? Then I realized I got a whole family out there on the West Coast
that's
wide awake. Like, you know what I mean?
I love it, man.
That ain't the Big Ten. So it's going to be a little different.
It's big time different. So thank you to the Lions for handling. The Seahawks are a good team offensively for sure. But that defense, well, I know
I
they have a lot of
trash about the Lions. Lions, y'all got to do better. There's no way you should have let the Seahawks even be in that game, being up whatever you was up by two scores early. And you just let them. Kenneth Walker just marched down the field on y'all like every single time. Y'all
two
ought to
of the
be
worst
ashamed
defenses
of
in the NFL. Now, two of the best offenses, but it's a one-sided game.
Like, I get it, but hey, man, kudos for getting the win. Y'all got to be better though, because that's not gonna fly when you play us. I ain't even gonna say when you play us, but you know it's not gonna fly when you get to Santa Clara. I can tell you that right now.
I love it, Big Dez. Yeah, you brought up Renardo Green. Jacob Cowan got his first snaps. Offensively, he only got four of them, but they weren't bad. Like, he got some good blocks. He ran an awesome route against Christian Gonzalez, got more separation than almost any wide receiver against Christian Gonzalez. He didn't get the target or anything like that. But, like, Cowan didn't look bad. Banged up his shoulder late. They had to pull him. Hughescheck had to do the punt return. But even though it was a small sample size, you know, we talked a lot about last week. We made this show, you know, your Michigan guy and all the, you know, whatever, Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell was a healthy scratch. Jacob Cowan got some snaps. What's your assessment moving forward for Jacob Cowan?
I think you just got to continue, like, if he's healthy, to just find a way to get him some snaps. It would be cool to see him to get some targets. I think that's going to have to come through practice and him and Brock, like, continuing to build continuity. I'm trying to figure out how to say this right. You know, sometimes, you know, today's athletes are not yesterday's athletes. And sometimes you just got to use the new juice. Like, what's the worst that can go wrong? Jacob Cowan being out there. Like, nothing, right? He drop a pass. We've seen it before. Been there, done that. That's the worst. What's the worst that can go wrong with Renardo Green being out there? Him giving up a touchdown? We've seen that before. We got vets that do that. So I kind of am for the new blood. Like, they're faster, they're stronger, they're smarter. It's weird. The only thing they lack is the football knowledge and experience. But if they got the physical attributes, if they got skill set, they got gifts, you drafted them for a reason. I'm all for, like, Jacob Cowan beat triple coverages in college. What makes you think he's not going to beat triple coverages in the NFL?
I love that. And Big Papa, our friend, I love this. Longer time spent in college, maybe giving them more experience to make rookies more able to play. I feel like, because the COVID rules, all that stuff, like, it's just older. Different now.
Yeah.
Like, we're not getting these young whatever guys. These guys, the 49ers drafted all old dudes. All of them old. And so, yeah, I think that kind of applies, especially whenever you're talking about Jacob Cowan. That dude played a lot of football, a lot of football.
100%. And you know, I'm a big firm believer that, you know, the 49ers, every team in the NFL has got to draft players that literally fit what they want. And I think every person that they've drafted, like, you know, as of recent, fits a certain aspect of what the Niners are looking for out of a player, you know? And so when I'm looking at Jacob Cowan, I'm like, yo, this kid could beat coverage. This kid can get open. This kid has speed. The kid can catch. Like, what is he lacking other than the system? Like, and it's like, does he really understand? That's what Kyle Shanahan said. Hey, man, you know, he's still got work to do.
Yep.
What does that mean?
That shows. Shout out to my man, Nick. Appreciate the super chat. What's up, my bros? He says, winning is the best remedy. The coffee tasted better on Monday, man. Not going to lie. Mark
Iver.
I
had my first cup of coffee on Monday, and I haven't had a cup of coffee since, like, 1998. You know what I'm saying? But that coffee tasted really good on Monday.
Ooh, I got my pumpkin spice latte right here,
not
baby.
A coffee drinker. You guys are coffee connoisseurs out there. You know what I mean? You give me coffee, I think it's the best thing in the world. It's probably trash.
Dude, I'm just saying, I am like the most basic white woman when it comes to coffee drinks, and I do not give a damn. It's October. Bring on all the pumpkin. Don't care. Don't care. I have no pride. All right. Mark, appreciate you, Mark. He says, can Cowling block that the issue?
That's one of his issues.
Dude, blocked very well.
He's getting better.
Four snaps.
Right.
But you block with your feet and your hands. And, you know, I used to always teach this. Like, yeah, it's easy to be a big wide receiver or tight end and block corners. That's easy. But you look at a guy like Ronnie Bell, that dude has insane effort. Feet are constantly moving. Arms are always fully extended, shoulder width apart. Like, it's a technique thing. And Cowling, even at Arizona or what was it? Not UTEP. Was it UTEP? Where did he come from?
Arizona.
He transferred to Samoa. I think it was UTEP. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, he's always a willing blocker. Now, is he going to be taking on a linebacker running full speed at him?
Nah.
You're not going to get that.
But down
he's
the field,
not a bad
yes.
blocker.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. Four games this year, Brandon Ayuk has been the worst wide receiver blocking all four games.
Isn't that
all
crazy?
All four games. It's the effort is not coming across on tape and run plays. It's just not.
I see.
Debo's is, which is crazy because it didn't used to.
Right.
But Ayuk's is not. Juwan Jennings is Juwan Jennings. That
I think Debo said to Ayuk, don't worry, man. Get yourself in shape. I got your role. But as soon as you get back, I'm going back to my role.
I would not be surprised at all. Now, sticking with the wide receivers, shout out to my man, J-Dog Boston. He's the best. I hear his voice. I hear his voice in the back of my head. He says, what's up, brothers? What's going on? How in the hell can Pearsall even get on the field? The 49ers got three starting wide receivers already, and all we do is run two wide receiver sets. Our best wide receiver.
Did they watch the last game? We ran a lot of 11 personnel. Bro, I got it right here.
And we put Debo in the backfield. We'll freeze up an extra. Let's get the numbers. Oh, he's getting through the paper. He's got the loose sleeve.
It's,
freaking.
Oh, yeah, man. Listen.
I love it. Notebook. I love it. Trapper keeper. Let's do
this.
It
was way too much 11 personnel for my blood, but I like it. I like three wide receiver sets now. I usually highlight.
Oh, that is awesome.
And so I didn't get a chance to do my highlighting yet because I'm doing the film today. So I'm not going to go through, but I know at the 4 minute and 43 second mark, 11 personnel. Guess who was the lead running back? Juice, Kittle, and then you had Ayuk. I had Debo, Juwan Jennings out there. 11 personnel, 2 minute, 33 mark. And these are all just the pass plays. These are I didn't even go through the run plays. I just do the Purdy throws. That's what I call it. So Purdy's throws, right? So a lot of 11 personnel on these pass plays, man. It was cool because it was a lot of three wide receiver sets. And like you said, I saw some Chris Conley out there. I saw I didn't see Jacob Cowling. I didn't see number 19 out there.
He got out there in the first half. He got out there in the first half, but it was four snaps.
Was it pass snaps or run snaps? Because
two and two. It was 2-2.
I got to go back and check to see about the pass snaps. But when I go and watch the film to I edited the film. When I go do my explanation on the film, hopefully I'll see him out there, number 19. But it was cool. Like, it was a lot of 11 personnel, which is weird. And that 11 personnel, Mason wasn't on the field all the time. It was Juice. It was
how many
weird.
Snaps did Mason got 47 out of 63 snaps. So he missed 16 snaps. Debo was back there a lot. Kyle Juszczyk was back there a lot. So here's my question. Let's stick with what J-Dog says. 63 offensive snaps in the game versus the Patriots. Here's the wide receiver breakdown. And the whole conversation is, where will Pearsall fit into this? Or how? Okay. Ayuk had the most with 50 snaps. Debo, 48. Jennings, 36. Conley, 5. Cowling, 4. Where does Ricky Pearsall, once he is back, where does he fit?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Because it's a it's gonna be some type of rotation thing. What I've witnessed from the last game is I'm thinking that Kyle Shanahan is trying to mix it up with the sets of receivers that he's putting out there. He's mixing it up with the running backs out there. He's mixing it up. And so, like, I think having Debo, even though he's a wide receiver, he still counts as that part of the personnel. So whether you line up in the backfield or not, he's still considered a wideout. And so it's still considered three wide receiver sets. So I think that would change the way the defense has to, you know, kind of like defend. So I think Debo being out in the majority of sets, he sat on some of the sets. He wasn't in on every three wide receiver set. But, like, I think having him out there is the key because you need that wild card piece. And we didn't do any jet sweeps. We didn't do any of that in this game. So, like, I just feel like that's where Jacob Cowan comes in. Where does Ricky Pearsall fit in? He's going to go out in one of these either three wide receiver sets. I don't know if you put him in a two wide receiver set. I don't know if you trust him in that as of yet, unless it's on anything.
And I think punt returner, kick returner, that's where I would start him.
And then you get him on a couple of sets, right? Like a couple of personnel groupings. You're going to have
those 11 ones. Yeah, maybe, I want him.
That's
out
what I'm saying. I'm 11 personnel. Yeah, for sure.
But I will say this. Like Jennings is getting more snaps than he's accustomed to. If we look throughout his career, usually
100%.
He's 20 to 26.
Yeah,
he got 36. That's not enough.
No.
I don't like Jennings should lead the 49ers wide receivers in snaps, in my opinion.
That's fine, but I'm curious to know how they're going to defend Jennings if they don't continue to utilize him right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're utilizing Jennings because they're moving him around on the field. He's continuing to play a role where it's allowing him to find the coverages, like to find the holes open in the zone to sit, blah, 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 blah. And so, like, I'm cool with that. Like, just have him out there. But I'm just curious to know if they do that, will the defenses say, hey, take away Jennings. Hey.
I mean, he can be blanketed and he still makes the damn catch every time.
Like, that's fine. But my point is do that because now Brock will have other options.
Right.
You know, he'll still throw it to him, blanket it, but it would change up maybe the vision of what Brock's trying to do, and this will allow other people to get the ball. So the more Jennings continues to dominate, like the easier it's going to be to open up the offense even more. At some point, defensively, you got to say, damn, he's their best receiver. We got to double him.
The Niners currently have the second most offensive yards, second most passing yards in the NFL. It's working. So, yeah, more Jennings, please. More cowbell. We need more cowbell. Shout out to Will Ferrell. Blood Moon, appreciate the super chat. Got a couple of these questions in the chat. Raiders potentially trading Davante Adams. That is 100% happening. I can guarantee that. Peachy even brought that up. Would you trade Brandon Ayuk for Davante Adams? I would in a heartbeat. I don't think that you can because all the dead money. Davante Adams is better. Now, long-term, that's where the question comes into play. Brandon Ayuk's currently on pace for 700 yards for the season if he kept at this pace. I don't think that he will stay at this pace. But, you know, he ain't been great. He's been good. He's not a $30 million wide receiver good. Wade, would you do this trade or no?
No. It doesn't make sense. You're asking a star receiver to come in and replace another star receiver. So let me just say this. Davante Adams comes here and he's not targeted. What do you think is going to happen? So like if Brandon Ayuk is not the one, what am I trying to say? He's targeted, but like, think, look at the way that
Ayuk had one target and it was halfway through the third quarter. Like,
like you talk about the first play, it was 38 yards.
That was it. He didn't get a target until halfway through the third quarter after that.
My thing is that I don't think we need a Davante Adams.
Agreed.
It the offense doesn't – remember everybody was saying, oh, we don't need a number one wide receiver, so why go after Davante Adams? If you got a guy that could be a number one, but we don't treat him like he's a number one. We're not trying to get him the ball. We're not trying to do this. Like, if he's open, the ball is going to be there. If not, I got four other players I need to get the ball to, right? And so, like, that's the Niners' offense. It's not evenly distributed, but – the ball's going to be spread around because Brock is gifted to be able to go through these progressions. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're so used to not having a Brock to where that ball got to go to Brandon Ayuk because that, like, this quarterback ain't got the time to see that this guy is open or this guy could check it down. Brock has the ability and the gift to do that. So we're not forcing it to Ayuk. we're not going to force this to Davante Adams. So that means Davante Adams will come here, and the next thing you know, he's going to cause.
You've seen issues there. I don't think that the trade will take place. Would I do it? If it was a straight-up trade, 100% I would. Mark says, Ayuk has been struggling against man coverage 100%. That has been the issue. He has kind of staked his claim. Reception, perception, Matt Harmon does a great job.
Open, yeah.
I mean, he is destroyed man coverage throughout his career. This year, not so much. And the 49ers early on, the first two games, the first opening series was designed, three consecutive plays, to go at Brandon Ayuk. Didn't work out, three and out punt, move on, whatever else. This last game, they were like, look, dude, we're just calling whatever the defense has given us. We're not trying to force anything to anybody. And that is working. And so I think that's the move going forward. Am I concerned about Brandon Ayuk long-term? I am not. Do I think that Brandon Ayuk will return to the status he was? Yes, I do. Has he been at that status yet? I'll be one of the ones that says he has not been. The effort blocking against man coverage, not there. Just hasn't been there. I think it will at some point. And I like Brandon Ayuk. I just wish we got there faster, but that's okay. You're going to do what you got to do. Now, let's flip to the defensive side of the ball. Moon Man, appreciate you. Need to keep using simulated pressures and disguising. This has been my number one critique of Nick Sorensen. It has been so obvious, blatantly, what we are doing in our coverages from the break of the huddle. That started to change up. We did some 5D linemen. We did some fire zones. We did some nickel pressures. We blitzed almost 40%. Wayne, talk to me about this defensive scheme and how they were able to get not one, not two, but 19 pressure. Oh, that's the wrong game. They got more than 19. It was like 30
pressures. They had 29 pressures in this game.
There we go.
All right. So 29 pressures, six of them were sacks. The Niners, I'm not saying that they were playing against a subpar offensive line, but I think part of it you got to factor in is the type of quarterback that they were playing. Like Jacoby Brissett, it's not a mobile guy. He's a tough guy to bring down. Like, and you heard Kyle Shanahan or somebody said, like he's a difficult, it's a big quarterback, right? Like, so you're not going to just be able to pull him down with your arm, whatever. You got to really put the body on him, get him down, like onto the ground. He kind of slipped through a couple of pressures to where I thought the Niners would get him down. But I wonder if that plays a role into how well that they were able to execute and perform. I thought that the game plan call was amazing from Nick Sorensen. He came out, said, hey, we're going to stop the run. They were disguising some of the pressures. The five lineman thing was perfect. They told them that they were going to take away the run. Like, boom. I don't care what Ramondre Stevenson thinks he can do. He's not going to do it against us. And that's what we needed to do. We needed to take away the run, force him to be one-dimensional. And we had opportunities, right? Opportunities to take the ball away. And we just didn't capitalize on those opportunities. All right. So Malik Mustafa dropped the interception. I feel like somebody else dropped one too. I feel like D'Amador Lenore dropped one, but I could be wrong. But somebody else dropped an interception. But my point is the opportunities were there. I think guys were locked in. I think you got the pressure from the interior, which is more for me, it's just so amazing when the interior is getting the pressure, because the quickest way to a quarterback is in a straight line. So Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott, Kevin Givens, like these guys.
I told y'all Kevin Givens was going to have a game. I've been saying Kevin Givens is going to be a factor this year. I love me some Kevin Givens.
I'm trying to tell you, like, this is important. And then you got this surgence from a player that only the Niners knew about, right? And they knew about Sam Okwuegbunam. No,
Okwuegbunam.
Okwuegbunam. It should be Okwuegbunam because I like the Q-U-A-Y, but Okwuegbunam, right? All right. So it's Okwuegbunam. He's Okwuegbunam to me. But anyway, Sam O. Anyway,
freaking love
the
that
Niners
name.
Knew about him. And here's how I know. Because he made the active roster. He made the 53-man roster, right? He made it. He was the only player that actually made that roster. They had to let him go, whatever. But I knew that he was designated to return. The Niners must have made him an offer he couldn't refuse because he kept choosing to come back to the Niners, right? And so, like, that, to me, is what the Niners were looking for when they drafted Solomon Thomas. That is what the Niners were looking for when they drafted Drake Jackson. They got that. And Sam O.
Dude, he had the highest pass rush grade of anybody on the team. He had three pressures on 10 pass rush snaps. Forced fumble, quarterback hit, two solo stops. Dude only played 19 snaps. Last week, he only played six snaps and made an impact then, too. Like, get 91 on the field. I want 30 snaps. Like, he should be in that 30-snap range, and I think it's only going to increase. Ah, I love me some
Here, let me ask you this. What do you think you're going to do with him, though? Like, there's two active roster spots available.
He's already got one, so he's on it.
Right, but do they put him back down?
No, I don't think so, because...
Isn't that what they did last week, and they brought him back up?
So, correct. He was on the practice squad, and it was elevated. You get elevated twice, but you're still on the practice squad.
So, he's done.
He got signed to the 53. He is on the 53 with the 53-man contract currently.
Oh.
He is... So, they promoted Evan Anderson and Jalen Mahogany.
From the...
They signed...
Oh, I didn't know that
Sam
they signed
to the
Sam
actual 53. He is a 53-man contract.
How did I miss that? Okay, so I must have was doing
they
away.
They promoted to, but they signed him.
Okay,
he
that's
got
a different. I see. I didn't know that. My bad. Okay, cool beans. So he's on there. So they got the two spots. So are those going? Is one going to go to Kalia Davis? Because that would give you some good depth at the defensive interior spot, and you don't have to start him. You could go with Kevin Givens. I prefer Kevin Givens actually starting.
He's
the most experienced. Then you filter in some Jordan Elliott. You filter in some Kalia Davis. Like, that's
Evan
your rotation.
Anderson. I would promote. So, like, if you're not going to.
I didn't think we needed to promote Jalen Mahoney, in my opinion.
They just wanted the safety and special teams depth. That was the whole idea. If Malik struggled, you know, what are you going to do?
You put George Odom back in, and then now you got Malik and Jalen on the right. On the special teams. Okay.
And a lot of times they'll promote guys because they value them because they get a huge pay increase. So when you're promoted from the practice squad and you're on the 53, you get like a gigantic pay increase compared to your practice squad salary. And the Niners have done this consistently where they look, we don't need to promote anybody, but we're going to reward you financially because we like you. They love Jalen Mahoney. Like, they want him to be
another
part
undrafted
of this system.
Guy.
Another undrafted guy for like that is a reward. You needed Evan Anderson. You didn't need Jalen Mahoney. Jaylen. It's just, hey, we're going to throw you a bone. We got a lot of young safeties. We want you to be here next year. So this, and you have those conversations. Now, what I would do, because I don't think Ricky Pearsall is going to be activated this week. No. I think his practice window might, but then you're going to have a couple weeks of practice before, unless there's a wide receiver injury, it's not a need. I would promote Evan Anderson, and I'd bring back Kalia Davis personally. I would sign Evan Anderson to the 53. I don't want somebody taking him. Like, that's something I don't want to risk personally.
I think they play the game, though, right? They give him the elevation one more time, and then they offer the signing of the contract, right?
Right.
Like, isn't that a Niners thing, or is it just me?
A lot of times it is. And so let's just say the Tennessee Titans or whomever comes in and they're like, dude, Evan Anderson's good. We want him on our roster. They make him a qualifying offer. The 49ers get the right of first refusal. So, like, even if another team tries to swoop in, the Niners can say, hey, man, we'll offer you the same deal. Stay here. And then we'll see what happens. Now, he could still choose the other way, but we'll see what happens there. Good conversation, though. I like this. This is fun. We got a good question here, Wayne. Can you explain, I like this, can you explain quarters coverage? So let me just do this in the best way that I can.
That's zone.
It's a zone coverage where you basically, you divide the deep part of the field into fours, right? Quarters, cover four. There's a little bit of nuance to that. But if you look at what the 49ers have done, this is just through week three. This does not include week four. They were in quarters coverage 13% of the time so far, quarters covered. So what happens is you drop your outside corners deep. They have to be deeper than the deepest. You drop your two safeties in the middle of the field. And so the deep part of the field is divided into four separate equal quadrants, quarters, and nobody gets behind you on those four. That's the idea. The problem with this is you get a lot of one-on-one deep matchups, and that's where we see the pass interferences deep and all that stuff. I break this down in film over on my Patreon. It's on our football 101 section. You just click on what is quarters and I show you the diagram on there. So if you haven't checked that out yet, go to the 49ersrush.com. Check that out. Now, I also got to say this tonight. I'm so pumped about this. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout. where we get together and we talk football. So everybody that's on our Patreon, that's Jerry Rice tier and above, or the 49ersrush.com, that's Jerry Rice tier and above. 7-day free trial. Go check it out. We're going to be hanging out tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Come say what's up. That's where we're going to be. It's going to be an absolute blast. We do it once a month over there. Ah, it's going to be fun. So check that out. Wayne, talk to me real quick about the linebackers. Let's talk about D Winners and Tatum Bethune.
I'm a linebacker.
Ah.
So, like, I mean, here's what you're going to get the difference between the two. I feel like D Winters is and should be the guy that's playing on the weak side. I'm not sure what's keeping the, you know, Johnny Holland and the Niners from like promoting him to that in the nickel package, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if it was because he was returning from the ankle injury. But I liked what I saw out there on the football field. He's flying around on the field. He has the sideline speed. He plays violent. Like, that's what you need. Like, he's not Dre Greenlaw, but he's Greenlaw-esque, mm-hmm. right? Like, he gives you the energy, the vibe. Minimum. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And so I'm not sure. He better be the one that they definitely bring up in this Cardinals game. Because now you got to deal with the quarterback that's going to be looking to get outside the pocket. And I can't have slow linebackers, one in particular, to like trying to get to him. I'm from on the outside. You need D Winters out there. So I think D Winters, I'm not sure if it's a mental thing, a health thing when it comes to D Winters, but I think it's time to start revving up the reps and giving him more opportunities out there, just like you did with starting Malik Mustafa and these guys. You got to trust him. If he makes a mistake, oh well, let him fix it in the game. As far as Tatum Bethune, he's going to be one of the best tackling linebackers on the 49ers.
He's mean, once, man.
Once the game officially slows down for him, they got a monster in him.
He's a hit stick, man. Walking hit stick.
Bro. Now, I don't know how good he is in coverage.
Terrible.
That's fine. He's about as bad as Devondre Campbell.
The thing is, Devondre Campbell's good at zone.
It's awful. He doesn't have the wit or the speed. Yeah. Like, all right. So if we go back to the play in the Los Angeles Rams game, it felt like he was picked when he covered the tight end. He kind of got rough. But here's the thing. He was with them in the man coverage. Like, he was with them. He just didn't turn his head. I felt like if he turns his head, it's not pass interference, and it's an ankle pass, right? Just turning the head.
Yeah.
And so he's never really been a coverage linebacker and man. It's not been his forte, but he's with the Niners. He's gonna have to figure it out. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is what we need you to do. Like, you gotta 100%. Figure it out.
Shout out to Nathan. Appreciate the super chat. We were talking to Sambo. I missed it. That's my bad. He says Sambo needs 25 snaps a game, ready for Kalia too. You've got guys in the wings. You've got young guys in the wings. And that is exciting. You know, Kalia Davis had his best preseason game of his career with somebody we waited on for a long time, and then he got injured. And so it was like, oh, we saw how good he could be. And then it was like, oh, we got to wait longer. Hopefully he comes back this week. We could definitely use him. There's no doubt about that. A couple other kind of younger guys that we really haven't talked about too much. Actually, no, we hit everybody. We got Evan. We got Renardo, Malik. We got Sambo, Cowing. We got him. Let's see here. We got a really good comment here from Mark. No more man coverage third and long. Dude, I've been barking at this one.
Like, ever, though. Like, it's not a need. Just play zone. You play zone on all three downs, first downs. You get them third and long, and then you want to man up. And they just got to have one half a split of a step. And for some reason, because we don't blitz on third and long, or we're not really getting to the quarterback in time, like, the coverages get beat. And next thing you know, we're giving up a third and 17, a third and 9, a third and 27,000. Like, we just give it up. I don't understand it. But let's hope we're adjusting to that. Let's hope we're changing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's got to be part of it's part personnel, but just don't play the man coverage on third and longs.
And if you do, don't put Devondre Campbell in man. Like, blitz him or put him in like a cover one under zone. There's so many plays in the first 3 weeks where we drop Fred Warner in zone and then put Campbell in man. And it's like, what are you doing?
It's like, that's what they want. Like, right. Like the defenses are looking for that. I mean, the offenses, excuse me, are looking for that. Like
Kevin O'Connell and McVay like abused the hell out of Nick Sorensen in those situations. So like, wait a second, you're doing this?
He got out coached.
Yeah. Literally. Hopefully you learned. Learn your lesson. Take your lumps. You're the young guy. You're the new guy on the streets. You're the new blood. Coaching. We got new blood players.
I can't wait to tomorrow because I got some questions for you.
Ooh. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be live over a Wade's channel. Support Wade everywhere you can. The Wade Breezy. He's got Madden simulations. His Patreon is incredible. Breaks down all the explosive plays. Tomorrow, we're going to be over there 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, right?
1 p.m. Eastern time. Same time, man.
Same time. All right. Now, if you're betting this week, oh my gosh, guys, we killed it last week. I'm hoping we can continue this hot streak, but we post all our bets. And if you want to bet with us, here's how you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. I like this comment. Sorry about that. From Alberto. He says, Lenore and Ward need to show up because Marvin Harrison Jr. is great. What do you guys think?
I actually like Ward on this.
Saves. This is what he's designed for.
Yeah, this is his build.
Speedsters, not so much.
No. And don't get it twisted. Marvin Harrison Jr.'s got speed. Question is, he's strong enough to get past Ward. So, like, is that speed going to be able to – is he going to be able to utilize that speed? He hasn't been able to utilize his speed all season. Now, I will say this about Marvin Harrison Jr. He does have touchdowns in his last 3 games. That he's played in, but his best game was a couple of weeks ago. Now, will they have tight end Trey McBride? That's could be something that can open him up a little bit differently, because I know what they're going to try to do and try to force Ward to cover a different receiver. It's going to be interesting, but I really like Ward and Harrison matchup. It's almost like that's going to be like the Metcalf Ward matchup. Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah, and, you know, Rainier says, you know, double coverage on Harrison. They don't have any. We don't do that a lot. The closest thing that we'll do is a cover six, cover two, mm-hmm. where you have a safety over top with deep help. If you do the quarters, like we were talking about earlier, Rainier, you have no safety help. You're the help deep. You've got the whole quarter of the field. You have to stay with them.
From quarters coverage in this game, if you can. And
you said more or less.
I would do less quarters against this. Because, listen, like you want. Like, if you're going to play cover six, I kind of like it. But the question is, who's still – see, I was going to ask you this tomorrow, but who's responsible for the quarterback? Like, who's responsible for that? So you don't have to answer that now. But when you play these coverages with more coverage back there and the guys are covered down the field, who the fuck is covering the middle of the field? Because that's a field day for my guy, for Kyler Murray.
And that's what they want to do. They run the ball.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison is like awesome and a stud. They run the ball. They're top five in rush yards. They run the ball. They're 26 in pass attempts.
Bro, they have over 600 total rushing yards. Like they do run the ball. Between Kyler Murray and James Conner, they run the ball.
Yeah. Sonia, she says, yeah, Cardinals trashed us in the run game last year. Let's see if we make the adjustments.
They trashed us, Sonia, big time. You know why? Do you know why, Sonia? Because they came out more physical. And I'm hoping that mindset has changed. I'm hoping that the 49ers, with the tone that Fred Warner, who is listed day to day, thank God, like Fred Warner, I feel like the tone is going to be a little different. I don't think James Conner is going to be able to come out and literally like bully this team like he did last year. But you are 100% correct. They ran the ball because they literally were just they came out and out physicaled the 49ers from the offensive line to the defensive. I don't think our defensive line is soft anymore. I think all the soft guys are gone. Like, have you watched Malik Collins play, John? Like,
dude, he's mean.
This dude,
he just reminds me of Hulk, like every play.
Bro, he's doing karate surf ninja moves, bro. Like he's using, you ever seen oh my God, you ever seen The Last Dragon? He's doing
Bruce
Leroy. I always tried to do that. I didn't know it was CGI at the time.
You gotta get the glow. You gotta get the glow.
Yo, he's doing these moves. I'm like, yo, how are they gonna stop this guy? And he's mean. I think that's the difference. And I'm hoping, Sonya, I'm right about what I'm saying. Yeah, I really do. But they got a lot of different pieces that they're going to try to throw at the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Like, this is going to be a matchup for a while. And, yeah, they got doors blown off by the Commanders, which should tell you a lot. But, you know, and we're going to talk about that. So if you want to know more about that, that's going to be tomorrow, 10 a.m. on Waynestown. It's not on my channel. You got to go subscribe. Support costs you nothing. Just type in the Wayne Breezy. Hit subscribe. That's where we're going to be. Mark says, I want to see on the field if they solve the duo/double teams. Defensive film, about to dive into that on our Patreon, the49ersrush.com. Go check that out. I just finished this morning the second half offensive breakdown. That's loading. That'll be posted when this show ends. But yeah, Malik Collins been nasty. Bare handing, wrecking shop, just doing his thing. Gosh, I like this defensive line. It's almost...
I'm hoping that's the defense. I mean, I'm hoping that's the difference. I'm sorry. And the defense. I'm hoping the defense is physical. Like, and because that's what you know, they got Will Hernandez on their offensive line. They literally got a new offensive line plus their draft pick Paris Hill and everybody else they got from other teams. Mm-hmm. So they're coming out to literally be dominant in the game and they can run the ball very well. But a lot of teams have been able to run the ball well and the Niners have actually dealt with these running teams. You know who does take advantage of the 49ers? Those second running backs. The Ty Chandlers. Who else did we play?
Amari DiMicardo, who we're going to see this week.
Bro, he averages like 7-8 yards after contact.
Yeah.
Like, was he an Arizona State guy?
I don't know where DiMicardo was. That is a wonderful...
I'm probably getting him mixed up with Rashad White.
Oh. Rashad White was an Arizona State guy.
He was an Arizona State guy.
No, he went to TCU. Amari DiMicardo.
TCU. Well, he's probably friends with D. Winters.
There you go. No, they do this one. They do this, right?
Yeah.
They don't, yeah. Is it this or this? It's that weird one.
Yeah.
Rah, rah, TCU. I hate TCU. All right. John Lynch's daughter goes there. So it's what it is. So, yeah, divisional games are always physical, and they always manage to try their best when they play us. Yeah, it's their Super Bowl. It's what it is. And look at this. Mr. HSK 2010. Love the show. Listed from Mexico City. Man, Wayne and I had the best time ever in Mexico City. I really hope we get that game.
That was a great time. I was so tired. But listen, man, the way you took the video of me, that was messed up.
But we're on this bus and Wayne is passed out. We're on the way to the game. We had like three charter buses full. It was so cool. We did that for the Rush road trip down there. Wayne's passed out. He worked his tail end off. It was incredible. Created such an awesome atmosphere for all the fans. And I took advantage. I took a picture of him, conked out and posted it. I had to, man. It was good.
I'm going to find a way to get you back. I just want you to know that.
I know, I deserve it.
The payback.
I like it. Alberto, question, is Drake Jackson done for the year?
Oh, yes. He's on IR. He was on IR before the season started, so they shut him down.
Sadly.
Question is he done? And that's the question, because I'm liking what I'm getting from Sam O. Like, this might be a guy you're going to need to find a way to offer a new contract. He's the perfect... You know what it is? He's the perfect height and weight combination. And I think that's why the Niners were struggling.
290 or 270, right?
270.
270.
I think that's what the Niners were struggling with, this tweener thing. Like, right? And so, like, I feel like he has enough weight to play inside and be quick, and he has the perfect weight to play outside where he's not slow. And he's just gifted to play football. I think we can't leave that part out. Some people just have the gift. Some people got to work a little extra harder. So I really like what I'm seeing from Sammo. I'm not going to stunt.
There we go. I like it. Man, this has been fun. Join us tomorrow. We're going to be looking way more ahead. Game plan over on Wayne's channel. Wayne, take us out this show, my friend.
You guys are the greatest fan base in the world. Continue to be that. It's 49ers Rush all day. And until next time, stay faithful.